Second homes, believe it or not, really tell us a lot about ourselves. It's where we realize this lifelong dream fulfilled. Second Home from Picasso.
I'm Lucy Woltman.
And I'm Andreas Mattson.
We're real estate lifers, second home connoisseurs, and really good friends.
We share untold stories of actors, athletes, business leaders, and musicians about their second homes.
I mean, anytime you're experiencing growth, it's going to be slightly uncomfortable. Life isn't always about being comfortable. I feel like you can only experience growth through putting yourself in different situations. And sometimes it feels really scary, but it's really just you versus you. We all can see the end goal very clearly, but sometimes we don't know what steps it takes to get there. Have the end goal in the background, but make daily goals.
An American model, socialite, and fashionista, Jordan Woods, thank you for joining our podcast, Second Home. It's great to have you here today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Before we begin, I just have to say, you have 12 million Instagram followers. I'm not going to admit to you, because it would be horribly embarrassing, how few I have. I did Google what's the average, and globally, 34% have less than 1,000 followers. You have 12 million followers. That's amazing.
So I never knew that statistic. It's
there you go.
Interesting.
Tell us, where are you today and what are you going to post?
Shoot. Okay. Today I'm currently in Minnesota. I am born and raised in California. So coming to Minnesota after I started dating my current boyfriend right now, Carl Anthony Townsend, he lives in Minnesota and plays in Minnesota. And it was definitely a culture shock coming here, landing. It's negative 19 degrees. I don't know. I mean, it's not now, but I remember when I first started coming here. But that also opened my eyes up to, wow, having a second home in a different place is kind of obviously an extreme luxury. But it's beautiful. Like coming here, I feel like I decompress. Life is much slower pace here. The air is fresher. I get all four seasons versus California. It's like my home. I love it like forever. But it's nice having seasons.
Absolutely. How did you choose the part of town where you wanted to be? Which neighborhood? Was it commute? Did that fall into the decision making?
Well, actually, yeah, actually, this house is Carl's house. He got it, I want to say about 4 years ago, but it's on the lake. It's beautiful. And I think he just, you know, when for me, I'm all about energy. So if the energy feels right in a home, that's how I know it's the right place for me. Obviously, you're going to add your own energy, but you'll know initially right away if it's the right place for you to be.
I mean, energy is so important with the house. You walk in, right? You have this feeling. Can you dive in a little deeper on that? What are you looking for? Is it the way that certain design of the house, or is there certain features, or are there certain things that you're bringing to make it feel like home as well? Like, how are you creating that energy when it comes to the house?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not at a phase in my life yet where I'm willing to build a house from the ground up. I feel like that's something when I know where I want my forever home to be, I will do that. But I think it's all about foundationally what the house is looking like. And for me, it's just, how do I feel? Do I feel safe? Do I feel like this is an environment that I can prosper in? When I wake up, I want to feel like my house is my sanctuary. So when I moved out for the first time and I was getting my own house, I honestly, this sounds funny, but I went on Zillow and I typed an area I wanted to be. And I went and looked at a house that same exact day. And that's the same house I've been in for 4 years now. So it's for me, like I said, it's the first and only. And I was like, nope, the energy's right. This one is the one for me. I didn't want anyone else to have it. And I've been there ever since.
You know when you know. What do you think it was about the house? Are you drawn to the backyard or the layout?
And we're talking about the LA home here.
Yes.
Yeah.
The view is beautiful, but when I'm home, I don't want to see anyone. And my house is very secluded to itself. And there's just enough space, but I just, when I look out, I get a peace of mind, and a peace of mind is everything to me. As well as, like I said, I don't see anyone when I go home. I don't want to see anyone. So I'm like very much to myself, go home. I have neighbors, obviously, so I feel a little bit safe. Like I'm not in the middle of the woods or anything, but I never see them unless I want to. So it's really nice. I think it's just what gives you a peace of mind. And for me, my personality is more like I'm constantly doing so much. So home to me is somewhere where I want it to feel like very quiet. Mm-hmm. Versus some people, they love the city. They thrive in loud environments. I'm just more of like a peaceful type of spirit when I'm home.
Yeah. How would you look at design then for the home? Is it very cozy feeling? Can you talk a bit about the type of furniture you're looking at or type of design of your home in LA, right? Because it sounds like when you walk in, it's this peaceful, zen-like, quiet experience. So how do you try to, you know, paint a picture for us, if you will, if
for
we're
sure.
walking into your front door, what am I seeing? What are we experiencing?
So you walk into my front door. That's my living room right there. There's these pretty much floor to ceiling windows so you can see the view. And they all slide open. So you can really have a very like open house if you want, or keep it closed. I have a cat, so I try not to keep my doors open. And I really like the modern approach. I'm a modern, cozy, with a touch of glam type of girl. I have crystals everywhere. Like I said, I'm big on energy. So every year or so, every 6 months, I like to treat myself to a new crystal. So I have like big crystals. I have amethysts on my kitchen counter. And it's very simple. It's very simple, very grays and blacks and a little bit of white thrown in there, but very just modern and cozy.
It sounds, there's such a difference. I think we've all noticed it. I know I have, when you go into a home that's contemporary but cold versus contemporary, modern, and warm. And what you're describing does sound so warm. I don't know. I imagine a throw blanket that I could grab if those doors were open.
I have like 5 Barefoot Dreams, like these super soft ones. I'm all about the cozy vibe. I mean, everyone that comes to my house can never get off my couch. So
I love it. Speaking of, tell us a little bit about that. Do you enjoy entertaining? Is your kitchen conducive to that?
Yeah. I mean, I love hosting people. Anytime people come over, I'm always, you know, making sure everything's good. I like hosting the people I like to host, not a bunch of random people. I'm very particular with who I invite over. But no, I'm always hosting someone, whether it's my best friend, my sister, family is always coming in and out. But yeah, I would say I'm a big host. I love to cook. I'm always cooking. And when I first moved into my house, I was cooking like, I think I was just really excited to have a nice kitchen. So I was cooking like every meal. That has slowly faded away to once in a while I'll be cooking.
What's the main dish? What's the main dish? If you're hosting and you're like, okay, I got to nail this one.
You know what?
What are you cooking?
This sounds like not fancy at all, but I cook really good chicken wings, or my Taco Tuesday platter that I put together with the like corn and the Spanish rice and the beans and the shrimp tacos, chicken taco. Like, I think my Taco Tuesdays are very undefeated.
I don't know. We might have to have a taco off or something. I have the good fortune of my next door neighbors being my best friends, and Taco Tuesday was the thing. I might have to riff with you a little bit about, you know, what do you put in your taco? So it sounds like corn, right? For sure. Beans.
No, so I'll do the street corn.
Street corn.
And then,
okay.
Yeah. I'll make the elotes and then I'll do.
Oh, you might win. Okay.
Black beans. And then I'll make like a Spanish rice with like jasmine rice and tomatoes and all these seasonings. And then I'll do like these really good shrimp tacos with homemade guac and some cilantro and lime. And then I'll do like really seasoned chicken tacos with like some cheese and salsa, sour cane, onion.
Oh man, I gotta step
honestly,
it up. Okay, you got
yeah,
me
Lucy,
for sure.
What were you trying to do?
You know,
even
I was going with the little packet, Lori's or whatever. you know,
don't get me wrong. That's good too. I might throw a little bit of that in my chicken as well.
What about a margarita? Can you make those?
I can. I have like, there's this one organic mix that I get that is my absolute favorite. I can't think of the name right now, but I, trust me, I think we just have to throw a Taco Tuesday party now because.
Well, either that or I'm inviting myself over. Now you got me. Yours are definitely fancier. And I've learned on a previous podcast that Andreas is really good at doing the dishes. Is that true, Dre?
Well, the better the food, the better I am at dishes for sure. So it sounds like I'm going to be really good at the dishes.
Honestly,
here.
That's my least favorite part about cooking.
Me too, man. The cleanup is, ugh. Some people like it.
Clean?
How about your boyfriend? Will he do the dishes?
He would get someone to do it.
You said transparent. I love it.
That's why we have help.
I love
it. That's so funny. That is awesome. Do you consider, you have your home in LA, you're living in Minnesota as well. Are you looking potentially at other second home destinations down the road as well?
Yeah, we actually have a house in Florida. I'm currently redoing the whole inside. It's
oh, great.
A task. It is a huge task, but it's beautiful.
Where
it's
in Florida?
It's beautiful. St. Petersburg.
Uh-huh.
Did you see that one and know also right away?
You know what? The foundation is so nice. Like I said, foundationally, Carl got it years ago and I came around and I'm like, look, I'm taking over this house and I'm redoing everything. I ripped apart the kitchen. The whole downstairs is completely different home. But the foundation was so beautiful. It just needed some life and some love and new energy. Like I've been pushing energy this whole podcast, but
oh, I love that. It's such a
fun
positive.
It's like a hobby to me. It's like a second or third job is redesigning homes and trying to make something as full of potential as it can be. So I'm actually doing that in the Minnesota house right now as well as the Florida house. I have a meeting after this about the Florida house, but let me tell you, when it comes to demo and breaking things down, it seems very simple, and then of course there's always a million things that comes with it, so it's been a very daunting task.
Well, and the fact you're putting two homes on the docket there, if you're redesigning in Minnesota as well as St. Petersburg, I mean, that's general contracting. If you're really involved in part of every decision, it's not a hobby. It becomes a full-time job. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I have like probably 30 texts a day that I'm trying to even catch up on right now.
I'm so impressed. I think you're a Gen Zer. Is that accurate?
I think I am. I kind of hate the way that sounds, but
okay, well,
I'm pretty sure.
I'll turn it into a positive, which is where I was going, of course, that, wow. I mean, you're young, successful, and have already recognized that, you know, real estate could be your biggest asset. Was it terrifying the first time you much less bought a primary home, but then your second home in LA? What did you equip yourself with to feel ready to do that? A good realtor, or tell us a little bit about your journey.
Honestly, my journey, I've always loved homes. I've always loved looking at homes. I actually just started working and getting my real estate license, but
all right. Congrats.
Thank you. I'm not sure how much time I have at the moment to really dedicate to that. So I have the books and everything. So it's starting eventually. But no, I think I know what I like and I'm pretty educated in how things work. I'm trying to work on real estate right now in a different aspect because I'm trying to open a franchise. So this has been a completely different experience as well.
Awesome.
So I'm learning more about that. But when it comes to homes, I just know what I like and I know what the market has looked like over the years. I mean, I'm just turned 25, but I have been making money since I was 15. So it's been pretty much a decade of figuring my life out. It's just a process. I'm the first person to admit that I don't know something. So I feel like you learn more when you can be transparent of where you are in your journey. I think so many people try to be like, oh, I know what I'm doing, or I know this, to try to like fake the funk. But I'm very like, if I don't know something, I'm willing to express that to get the right information. And I think this has been a huge tool for me recently, is just like asking people questions and getting advice from different people.
I love that feeling of feeling free to admit what you don't know. I recently saw a photo of you trying to protect your golf swing. I have empathy. I too am trying to learn to play golf. Andreas has nailed that skill. And I think you said in your caption that you love a challenge. You love learning something new. So it sounds like real estate is one of the things that, you know, you really, really want to become knowledgeable about.
Well, I just think real estate is not going anywhere. You know, if things like social media or something like that crash tomorrow, we're always going to have to figure out a place to live or like opening a business or regardless, like real estate is never going anywhere. So I feel like, why not? Why not learn about it?
It's true. I mean, that's what we always talk about, right? Is you can't duplicate land. There's only so much that
exists. Would be crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, again, that's part of real estate, right? And you have a finite amount and that's where it gets really interesting. And you mentioned too, getting your license as well. Would that be in California? I mean, is the idea to potentially franchise and have a business out of LA since that's where you grew up? That's where you have your home or?
I'm not going to lie to you. LA right now is just kind of, it's a lot and the market's very high and taxes are very high. I would not say it's the most smart place to open a business. Obviously, I live there, so my LLCs and stuff have to be ran through California, but I'm actually looking to franchise in a different state in Georgia. So I'm looking in a different place just because of the market and what I want to do. But yeah, no, I want to get my license in California because I live there, but I know so many people that are always looking for homes, but really a huge part of getting my license is simply just having the knowledge to not let anyone be able to take advantage of me in a certain real estate situation. So even if you get like, you know, your license and you don't start selling homes, you still have that knowledge for when you want your own home or when someone around you is going through something with their realtor, or if you are bored like me sometimes and just want to go look at homes down the street because you're just curious, you need some inspo or whatever it may be.
Yeah. I mean, then I'm bored every day because I look at hundreds of homes, right? I mean, it's definitely our passion. It's a great perspective, Jordan, really, that the power and the knowledge and knowing, I mean, real estate, you know, these are high assets, right? They can be expensive. And so just having that knowledge and feeling in control, whether you're redesigning these homes, whether you're on the transactional side of the business and understanding the paperwork, that's awesome. Again, just to take that control is impressive. And really, we highly encourage Lucy and I throughout our networks as well, that you should absolutely be going and just getting the books and understanding real estate because it is fascinating. And we're all pretty curious, right? Just such a fascinating space.
Well, I'd love too that you can be a resource for your friends, Jordan, who I'm sure some of them are at that stage where they're debating renting versus owning, which is, you know, a major life change, but owning, of course.
Honestly, and sometimes renting is a better option depending on the situation. You just have to see what works the best for you. And sometimes you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to be here forever. And I just want to try out this area and rent for a while. Like that is also okay too, because then you have to think of the property tax and everything else that comes with it once you decide you want to buy a home.
It sounds like already you're getting these questions from your friends, right? Is that fair? They're asking.
Yeah, we're all kind of learning together. And the older I get, the more I realize like there's so much power and knowledge in financial literacy. And that's something that I am still grasping the concept of and learning, because I've had people in the past like mess me over financially with random either taxes or different things. So now I'm like, taking back my power and learning as much as I can about the market and financial literacy and real estate and ways to save and investments, and also trying to do that while starting my own businesses, entrepreneurship. It's really legacy stuff, and it's generational curses that you have to try to break. And not all of us have the luxury of, you know, some people are born into situations where they like have the guideline and their parents set them up really good and they have a fund or something like that. I didn't really have that in a way of like, in the beginning, I didn't know what it was like to have a savings. So it's just, you know, learning these things. So even if I can set up my future children to be in a better position, like, you know, that's important to me too.
It's unbelievable, Lucy, right? We're Jordan's 25.
I mean, you might see me and my mouth is wide open catching flies here because I'm just, I'm awestruck. I'm just incredibly impressed, Jordan, with how business focused you are and how accomplished you are, which brings me to another thing that you're focused on, which is your fitness app. Tell us a little bit more about that. What was the inspiration for that? And then I'd love to hear with all these things in on your mind, how you stay healthy. When I'm stressed, I'm reaching for food that's bad for me. So share with us a little bit about the fitness app and how you stay on track.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the food that's bad for you is actually good for the soul. So it's all good.
Thank you for that permission. Thank you, Jordan.
It's all about balance. Like, we're not perfectionists. We're not meant to be perfect. We're meant to be real. We're meant to be humans. And for me, my dad passed away from pancreatic cancer suddenly. He was healthy my whole entire life and never even saw my dad sick, nothing, worked out, rode his motorcycle, and then got the flu, which we thought was the flu, right before the holidays. He wasn't feeling better. He stopped being able to eat. He got rushed to the emergency room. He had a seizure. They started treating him for meningitis. He was in ICU for about a week. He wasn't getting better. So they tested him, found a tumor on his skull, on his spine. And so they decided to test his full body and they found out it was stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And within a week, he passed away. So from being healthy one day and 1 month later, passing away, that was, you know, at 19, going through that, it was very triggering. And that really started my fitness journey because that fitness became my therapy. I didn't really know how to cope with it at the time. So I would work out, and working out was my moment that I gave to myself. And for me, I've always been someone that kind of struggled with my weight and my confidence, and the fitness world could be very intimidating. So I wanted to create something that was more real, meeting people where they're at, where it wasn't like something where they felt too much pressure to try to be perfect or too scared. I think a lot of people are just always too scared to start because they're scared of where they're going to be. So I wanted to create a more realistic platform for people. And there's like a journaling section, and it's really about looking at fitness for other ways than just like aesthetic. It's more about, for me, it's mental health. And that's where First Place came about. It's about putting yourself first, making yourself your first priority. And honestly, how I stay healthy is fitness is my therapy. So when I'm not working out for a while, my mental health kind of declines for sure. I'm not going to act like my life is perfect. I'm so blessed. I'm so fortunate. I'm so happy to be here. But, you know, I struggle with anxiety and sometimes depression and sometimes PTSD and trauma and grief and everything else. And fitness helps me get through it. And also, like, you know, surrounding myself with good family and friends, eating good food. Sometimes it's good for the soul, but just always trying to like be real with myself and understand not every day is going to be perfect. And that's okay, because I've only become my strongest through my worst times.
Thank you for sharing, first and foremost. We appreciate that. And to channel a lot of that into something that not only benefits yourself, but then your ability and willingness to share, and then share it through something like First Place. And I really think it's amazing, as we were looking at it too, as you mentioned, so much more than physical fitness, right? And I already wrote down the note. I totally agree. It's so hard just to start, to put that first foot forward. Is there any advice, you know, to really encourage others to just take that step? Is there anything further you can share there? Because again, it is kind of that first step, whether it's a new job, a new career, a new mental health step, physical step. How do you think about or encourage people to take that first step?
I mean, anytime you're experiencing growth, it's going to be slightly uncomfortable. Life isn't always about being comfortable. I feel like you can only experience growth through putting yourself in different situations. And sometimes it feels really scary, but it's really just you versus you at the end of the day. If something doesn't get done, that's because you didn't make it happen or you were scared. But to be honest, it is scary. I think a lot of things that you're unsure about can be scary. But the first step is just creating a plan. Like for me, okay, we all can see the end goal very clearly, but sometimes we don't know what steps it takes to get there. And instead of putting so much emphasis on the end goal, have the end goal in the background, but make daily goals. So maybe you want to live a healthier lifestyle, but you don't want to throw yourself into like a crazy HIIT workout. Well, okay, let's start somewhere. Maybe I'm going to make sure I drink a gallon of water a day, and then I'm going to walk for 15 minutes. And then a few days pass and you start walking for 30 minutes. And then a week passes and you start jogging. And then you finally have built up the confidence to then try that HIIT workout. But instead of just, I'm personally throwing myself into the hardest part. That's just like my personality. But for other people, it can be very intimidating. So just make a plan to start and give yourself grace. We have to start giving ourselves more grace and not being so hard on ourselves. Trust me, most people are probably dealing with the same thing you're dealing with or similar feelings, and they just wear a mask very well. So just give yourself grace. And also, if you're like me, just throw yourself into it. Then you know that you're capable of it and you can do anything, or create a plan, baby steps, and eventually you will get to the end goal.
Wow. I mean, very inspirational. It of course begs the question, do you have a dedicated space in your second home for workouts? It sounds like you like to go outdoors, but is there also a place in the home?
You know what? I do have this little gym that I built, but I'm going to be real. I never use it. I personally like leaving the house to work out. It's like guarantees that I'm getting out of the house at least like once during the day. But I don't know if it's like my coping mechanism or something. I can't sit still for too long. I don't know what it is. I don't want to put a title to it, but if I'm not being productive or at least getting out the house once a day, I feel like I'm going a little crazy. So some days I'm like, okay, leaving the house to work out is like my outing for myself.
I'll admit to you, I have days working from home in my little home office where I go upstairs at the end of the day and I'm like, was it warm out today? Like, I don't even know because I haven't stepped outside. I'm not proud of that, but yeah. I hear you. You know, you got to get out of your bubble a little bit. Andreas, do you have a home gym? I'm curious. I know you're Mr. Workout.
Semi.
Sort
yeah.
Of.
It's
yeah.
A multi-purpose room for sure. But yeah, I do. You know, my strategy is try to find a few minutes out of the day constantly where, oh, okay, I have 5 minutes, 10 minutes here. And just pushing myself to just get into the room and do a few quick exercises and then back to business, right? And just being aware of it and trying to always prioritize it.
Makes total sense. Do you find, Jordan, motivation by working out with a certain friend?
I actually get very motivated about if I'm working out with other people. I'm not good at pushing myself. I get bored.
Plus one on that. Yeah.
That peer pressure or like a trainer or a class or something to really motivate me. Cause when I'm working out at home, like when I'm in Minnesota and it's snowing, we have a gym in here. And that's one of the few times I actually work out like inside when I'm forced to. I need that peer pressure. I need people around me pushing me to go harder.
Recapping a little bit, you know, we have First Place, amazing app. We're redesigning a couple homes right now. We have an amazing following on Instagram and Twitter as well. Anything else that you're working on or focused on or coming down the line?
Yeah, I can't share full details, but I definitely am working on some franchise stuff that's behind the scenes. I wanted to have some business that was mine, but wasn't necessarily associated to my brand. And then I have some other businesses that I'm working on that I've building their passion projects, but also like
a lot of teasers here. A lot of teasers.
Yeah, something in the clothing space.
Oh, wow.
That's exciting.
There are things in the works.
That's super exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, that's exciting, though.
I mean, just speaks volumes of your motivation and your confidence.
I mean, people always are like, what does she even do? And I like, sometimes it gets to me because I'm like, to me, I only post like, oh, when I'm out at a game or out at dinner, like, but they don't see mm-hmm. my day-to-day life where I'm actually working on like a million different things, which I don't owe anyone that explanation, but sometimes I see people comment like, what does she even do? She just like gets dressed and go.
It's wild like, that people would do that. And, you know, but then it begs question, have you considered, you know, I'm curious then, you know, posting or talking about all of these businesses and taking pictures of the redesign work you're working on and the different renos. Have you considered showcasing all this amazing work that you're doing too?
You know what? Like probably will. You're only as good as your team. And like for me right now, I'm a team of just a very like few people, like just my mom and I expanding. And some days I'm like, I want to show people, but I just don't have the mental capacity right now to film this, or I'm like running from this to this to this that I forget to like pull out my phone and film. So I'm like, maybe if I like could get a film crew or someone to come follow me in the journey next time I like go to Florida or when we really start doing the renovation here. But as of right now, it's just like, I'm just trying to find the time to share the stuff. Cause you know, when I do have a second to myself, I'm like not rushing to post, but I think it's like a huge part of what I do. So I'm all about trying to find the balance, and I'm figuring out the balance right now. I just haven't quite figured it out yet.
It's so evident and apparent that this is a passion point for you. And gosh, once this masterpiece in Florida is complete.
Oh my gosh. If you guys only knew the hat.
I have gone through it. I've gone through a major renovation, retaining walls, you know, foundation. Oh, boy.
Well, the thing is, the house is so nice, but, you know, it hasn't been redone, I don't know, maybe for 30 years when it was built. So you go into, and the person that had the house before made it, everything is custom from France or from here. So it's not just the easy, like, you can buy a new one and screw it on. Kind of have to take everything apart.
Oh, boy.
And it's just like something that should be so easy with this house is becoming like a 2-week task that should take 2 hours. So it's like, and then I've all the kitchen cabinets that I made basically a whole new kitchen and they all got painted and I'm looking at them and I'm like, I absolutely hate this color. Now that it's all done, I'm like,
You'll redo them. You got to fall in love with your color, right? You got to redo them.
Well, this is the thing. It's so expensive to redo it and it's all already done. So I'm like, do I compromise like what I like or do I look at that every time I go to the house and be like, wow, I actually hate this.
It sounds to me from our conversation that you've got a great sense of interiors. And I will readily admit, I can think more about interiors than I can about structural. Are you able to read a blueprint? Like when someone shows you like, oh, hey, Jordan, if we knock down this wall, then we could create a XYZ. Can you kind of grok that when you look at a blueprint? I could not, for my little brain just not good at seeing angles.
I am more of a visual person than anything.
Me too. Okay.
But I can't say that I've really had to do that because I've been in person with the thing and we can just point to the wall. So I haven't been in that position to even have to try to read it.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. It's hard. I gotta tell you for my personal experience.
So I can't give you my correct answer because I'm not even sure. I think I could, but I am not sure.
On behalf of all of us, I can't thank you enough, Jordan, for joining us. This was a really fun conversation and we got a glimpse of a side of you that you wanted to share, which is the most important part of having this conversation.
Yeah, well, thank you for your time. Yeah, you guys definitely are invited to come over to have tacos. Just let me know the date.
Love it.
I love it. We might choose the LA location, at least I will, over Minnesota, maybe.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Well, thank you again, Jordan. Really enjoyed
thank
this
you.
Conversation. You have so much to be proud of. My goodness, a lot of accomplishments and a lot of big dreams. And I know we're all going to see you accomplish those. There's not a doubt in my mind.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we'll be following. Thank you.
You too.
We had a blast, and I hope you had a great time listening and hearing these insights.
If you love the show, take a moment. Rate us, review us, tell us what you think. Please subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast from. To learn more about Picasso, visit pacaso.com.